I'm getting ready to go to Germany for a couple of days of meetings, and then I'll be back on Wednesday in Budapest, and Wednesday evening Keshe Bharati Maharaj will be arriving to stay in Hungary for a month, and we'll be spending some time working together on Navavraja Mahima. And then Thursday, we'll head out to the farm. On my way, I'll drop in to the doctor's for a last checkup. And Wednesday evening, also the therapist will be coming. And then we'll get ready for Balaramji's appearance day. And then the following week, we'll start our Namhada camp. And that concludes with Janmashtami, Vyas Puja, and then after a few weeks after Radhashtami, and it looks like I'll probably end up staying in New Rajadham up until the end of September with just one or two visits down to Budapest, one to have a lunch with one of the Catholic bishops who's coming over to the temple, and another one will be for a interfaith seminar. Aside from that, it'll be a good opportunity for me to stay in one place and do a little recovery on my back, which after the last week of traveling, I think it could really use staying in one place. Add to that the next few days also. Okay. Last night we had a questions answer session with devotees, and one of the questions that arose was a standard question, is that does a devotee desire to go to the spiritual world, or does he desire to come back and preach in the material world? And my answer to this was that certainly our motto is going back home, back to Godhead. This is the logo of our Back to Godhead magazine. It's what the magazine is about. And it's, I remember even during kirtans, as a young devotee, temple president, in the middle of chanting Hare Krishna, at a certain point he would start singing, back home, back to Godhead, and devotees would repeat that, back home, back to Godhead, and then we would chant Hare Krishna again. So yes, our desire is to go back home, back to Godhead, but going back home, back to Godhead, initially is a state of consciousness, not necessarily a change of location. Although it may be that, if that is Krishna's desire. But becoming aware and being fully submissive to the desire of the Lord depends upon achieving a certain state of consciousness, and that consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. When you're fully conscious of Krishna, when we have no independent desire for anything, for enjoyment, for liberation from that of Krishna's desire, and our only desire is simply to please Krishna in a favorable devotional attitude, that full surrender to that mentality, not just in practice, but actually when that's been achieved in a perfectional stage, that is the state of consciousness of being back to Godhead. And whether then one is in the state of being back to Godhead in the spiritual world or the material world, then becomes a secondary issue. So there are two points here to be considered. One is that there's actually no difference in this state of consciousness between the material and the spiritual world. And the other one is that if one is in the material world, in this state of pure Krishna consciousness, one is also in the spiritual world. And let's just unpack these two points. The first one about that there's no difference between the material world and spiritual world. Matter and spirit are differentiated by a different type of energy of the Lord, but particularly those energies act differently based upon the consciousness of those who engage the energy. When a conditioned soul engages the material energy, he does so for his sense gratification. On the other hand, a liberated soul engages matter in the same way that he would engage the spiritual energy fully in Krishna's service. And therefore, although matter remains inherently a different substance than Satchit Ananda, but still it acts in the same way. And that's how Srila Prabhupada uses this term, that matter becomes then spiritualized. So when one is in the same consciousness as in the spiritual world, then one's relationship with Krishna is also the same as that in the spiritual world, and the activity is the same as that in the spiritual world. One is fully engaged in Krishna's service. So, once again, this idea of being in the material world, being in the spiritual world, or matter and spirit, is really an issue of consciousness. And for a devotee who's fully surrendered to Krishna, and it's Krishna's will that he be in the material world, because he has no material desire, he's not under the influence of matter, he behaves and functions in the material world as he does in the spiritual world. Therefore, in that sense, there is no difference in being there. And the second point is that when a pure devotee is in the material world, then he's also in the spiritual world. He's in both places at the same time. How is that possible? It's possible because the whole concept of Swarup City is that one's material body is functioning here within this world, but because one's consciousness is fully merged with Krishna, one's spiritual identity is fully functioning. First it becomes awakened, and then it fully functions, and therefore one's engaged in one's reciprocal relationship with Krishna in Krishna's Leela. And Krishna's Leela means the spiritual world. Of course, this is different than the other type of perfection. Swarup City is different than Vastu City. Vastu City means that when one is solely in the spiritual world and one has given up the connection with the material world, he has no material body. But that is the only essential difference. The consciousness of the two are the same, and the realization of the two are also the same. It's sometimes a perplexing thing to us how a living entity can be in two places at once, because the nature of matter is that you define matter as being something that at a given time is in one particular three-dimensional coordinate. You can just define it by X, Y, Z. This is where matter is. But spirit is not subject to these same types of laws, because that's the inconceivable nature of spirit. It's actually inconceivable to material mind, but it's very much conceivable for the spiritual entity to be present not only in two places, but in three, four, five, in many, many, and you could even say almost in an unlimited number of places. And how is that possible? It's possible because by Krishna's desire and Krishna's empowerment, anything can be possible. Even from the material point of view, a yogi can expand his body into multiple forms, although all the forms function identically. Similarly, it's described that Krishna's associates, by the spiritual empowerment of Krishna, wherever Krishna appears in his different incarnations simultaneously, they're also all present there in different forms. And also they're simultaneously present in the material world all at the same time. How is that possible? It's possible by Krishna's empowerment. So of course the question then comes up, well, does that mean that the living entity is one with Krishna, or he's equal to Krishna? Krishna's unlimited, the living entity is unlimited. Obviously the answer is no. We know that there's a qualitative oneness, but there's a quantitative difference. So Krishna is really unlimitedly unlimited, and the living entity is unlimited to the degree that Krishna makes him unlimited. And the further distinction between the two is that the living entity may achieve such empowerment just by that, by empowerment, by Krishna's grace. In other words, his ability to be in multiple places and swants is dependent upon Krishna's desire. But Krishna's ability to be in simultaneously in many places is by his own desire. Abhigya Swarat. Krishna is Swarat. He's independent, and the living entities are dependent. And that makes us very, very different from Krishna. That continues to make us Krishna's servants, whereas he is the one supreme independent master. So, back to the original question, does the living entity want to go back home, back to Godhead? We want to achieve that state of going back home, back to Godhead, the consciousness of being absorbed in Krishna. And if Krishna wants us to come to the world to preach, then we will do so because our business is to serve him. But there will be no loss because Srila Prabhupada defines the eternally liberated souls is that his characteristic is even though he's engaged in activities in the world, he never at any time forgets Krishna. Therefore, yes, we want to go back home, back to Godhead, and we'll do whatever Krishna wants in the desire to go back home, back to Godhead, whether that means preaching here or being solely in the spiritual world. But in any case, by being fully absorbed in Krishna and Krishna's service, one is always engaged in pure transcendence. One is back home, back to God. Hare Krishna.